Thank you, worship team, for leading us. That's an awesome one, isn't it? To God be the glory. That sort of aligns with our mission statement, doesn't it, as a church? We are a family of believers seeking to glorify God. And so this morning, we're looking at a special message for moms and grandmoms, grandmothers. And Lord willing, this message will be an encouragement to you. And that you would walk away blessed. And we do have a little gift for you at the end. We'll be handing out some flowers for you as you make your way out of the service this morning. There was a young man who graduated from high school, and he had to give a speech. And he began by reading from his prepared text, and this is what he said. He told the audience, "I want to talk about my mother and the wonderful influence she has had on my life. She's a shining example of parenthood, and I love her more than words could ever do justice." And at this point, he seemed to struggle for words, and he paused and looked up to the audience with a sly grin and said, "It's really hard to read my mom's handwriting." Prepared speech, for sure, prepared by his mother. Anyway, life affords mothers, I believe, no greater privilege and no greater responsibility, no greater honor than raising the next generation. That's what you're doing as moms. You're raising the next generation. And it's been said, and I truly believe this, it's been said that behind every great man is his mother. And this morning, I would like to exhort the moms here by highlighting the influence that you have on more than you realize. Because it's through moms, through mothers, through your sincere faith and through your devotion to the Word of God that you can influence and equip your children to change the course of history. And we're going to look at the life of Timothy and to see how he changed the course of history as a result of the influence of his mother and grandmother. And so the takeaway statement from this morning is that through your sincere faith, through your devotion to the Word of God, you can influence and equip your children to be history makers, to be change agents. And we're going to look at a few verses from Timothy and other places in Scripture to highlight that fact. Let's just pause for prayer before we go. Lord, we thank you so much for mothers and grandmothers and their influence on our lives as children, as sons and daughters, Lord, and just how you use them to train and equip the next generation to be change agents. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage the mothers here this morning with the words from your scriptures. Lord, that they would just recognize the incredible role that they have in influencing the next generation. And so I just pray that you, your spirit, would take these words and plant them in the hearts of moms here so that they may be encouraged in their role. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And thank you, Peter, for reading those verses for us. 2 Timothy 1, 5, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "For I'm mindful dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well." You see, godly mothers have a contagious faith. Godly mothers that have a contagious faith in the Lord Jesus can influence their children in powerful ways. Timothy was one such young man. In fact, Timothy, if we read about him in the book of Acts, where he's first introduced in chapter 16, verses 1, he did not grow up in an ideal home. In Timothy's home, his dad was a non-believer. He was a Greek, and his mother was a believer, and his grandmother a believer as well. And so it was a mixed marriage in the sense that the mom was a believer and the father wasn't. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, this is where we are introduced to Timothy. It says, Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And so that was sort of the home life that he kind of grew up in. It doesn't give us more details than that. But that didn't stop his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois from teaching in the things of the Lord. And I believe that Timothy gives hope to Christian mothers who may be married to non-believing husbands. If Eunice's son Timothy could grow up following the Lord as she did, then God can do the same for your children as well, even if your husband doesn't walk with the Lord. That's what we see here, that Timothy was a very powerful man of God, in spite of the fact that not both of his parents, one of his parents was walking with the Lord, the other wasn't. This verse tells us here that a sincere faith means that it has only one object. You see, when it says believe, it means to believe in something. We don't just believe, we believe in something or someone. And that's what a sincere faith is. It is faith that is locked into the Lord Jesus as the object of our faith. A sincere faith is not acting like you have faith. It's not playing the part. In fact, the word sincere, its opposite would be hypocritical. Eunice, Timothy's mother, did not have a faith that she put on in public on Sunday, or I guess in this case on Saturday, being from a Jewish background. She didn't have a faith that she would put on in public only to take it off at home. It was a sincere faith. It was a faith that was consistent. A faith that was lived out because of this inner reality of the Lord living in her. It was a faith that makes the Lord Jesus its sole object and lives out the reality of that relationship, whether in the home life or in the public life. Eunice was the same in public as she was in private. A consistent faith. You know, I remember back in 1978, I still remember the day my Jewish mother came back from home after taking a two-week trip here to Edmonton. We were living in Sherbrooke, Quebec at the time. And she came out here to Edmonton to visit my two sisters who had recently become Christians. And my mother was thinking, what happened to my daughters? What's going on? And so she, came out here for 2 weeks in 1978. And lo and behold, when she came out here to visit my two sisters or her two daughters, she came to faith in the Lord. And when she came back home to Quebec, the inner reality of her faith was as it did in Eunice, as it did in Timothy's mother and grandmother, and it got my attention. When I saw the change that happened in my mother, it got my attention. And so the testimony of a godly mother whose faith in the Lord is lived out has a powerful influence on her children. And my mother's faith had such an influence on me that 2 years later, I came to faith in the Lord. And I owe a great deal of respect and thankfulness to my mother for her testimony. So she came out to Edmonton, went back to Quebec a different woman than when she left. And so a sincere faith has only one object, and that object is the Lord Jesus. A sincere faith is also an influential faith. It influences the way you live. And through your faith, as mothers and even as grandmothers, and through your devotion to the Word of God, you can influence and equip your children to be change agents, to change the course of history in their own sphere of influence. And so not only did Eunice have a sincere faith in the Lord, but in a contagious faith and an influential faith, she was also able to transmit that faith to her son Timothy. Now the question is, how do we transmit our faith to the next generation? Well, I believe the way to do it is through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. For example, if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, Peter read these, but I'll read them again. It says, "You, however, continue in the things you have heard and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Who did he learn from? From his mother and grandmother. "And that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures which are able to give you, which is in Christ Jesus." And so the faith was transmitted to Timothy through the Word of God, through the sacred writings, through the scriptures. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be equipped and adequate for every good work. That's the power of the scriptures. And so when moms transmit their faith through transmitting the scriptures, then it has an incredible influence on your children. You know, I heard of four scholars who were arguing over Bible translations. And one said he preferred the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. And then another scholar said he preferred the New American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third scholar has preferred the NIV because of its quaint, penetrating use of words and the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. And then the fourth scholar, you know, after thinking it through a little bit, he admitted, he says, I have personally preferred my mother's translation. Maybe the MIV, the Mother's International Version. And, you know, the other scholars kind of chuckled and, you know, what do you mean, your mother's translation? And this is what he said. Well, yeah, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation I ever saw. In other words, his mother lived out the Word of God. That was the translation that he admired. And I believe that we can adorn the doctrine of God. We can beautify our faith in the Lord very attractive through our godly living. For example, this is an interesting verse. It's not really related to moms, but I think it can be applied all across the board. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Well, I'll read verse 9 as well. Like I said, this is related to servants, but we can, you know, apply it to any person. It says, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. And look at the result of this, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. And so when we translate the Word of God into godly living, it adorns the Scriptures. It adorns God. And so godly mothers can have an incredible influence on their children through their contagious faith, through transmitting the word of God. But of course, moms are not perfect. And as a mother, you want your kids to know that while you're not perfect, you do walk with God. And by living out the Word of God, you can, as I said, transmit your faith to your children. Now, I think this principle applies to all of us. If the Word of God is not important to us as parents, then I don't think it's going to be important to our children either. We cannot impart what we do not possess. If we do not possess a commitment and devotion to Scripture, then we can't impart or transfer that commitment to our children. But on the other hand, if the Word of God is important to us, then it will be important to our children. And so a sincere faith and a devotion to the Word of God, however, is no guarantee your children will follow your example. You know, I remember saying this, I can't remember to who, but, you know, somewhere along the line several years ago, I said, I wish I can transmit my faith like I transmit my DNA to my children, right? I mean, we transmit our DNA to our children. Our kids are half of pa and half of ma, but faith doesn't transmit that way. It would be nice, right? But it doesn't. There is no guarantee that our children will walk with the Lord. We can't guarantee that. But I do believe that through our sincere faith in the Lord Jesus and through our devotion to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can take that and use it. He can take that which you have imparted to your children, and the Spirit of God can bring conviction in the hearts of our children, which may one day lead them to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. And so we can't guarantee the salvation of our children, but we certainly can set up the environment for the Spirit of God to work in our children to bring them to faith in Christ Jesus. So if you have children who are not walking with the Lord, you can still have an influence in their lives. Even if they're out of the home, you can influence their lives through your prayers. And I've seen that happen in my own children's life. You know, over the years, the Lord has given me certain scriptures to claim. And when I pray for my children, and I do on a regular basis, I come back to those scriptures, and I pray through those scriptures. One such scripture is found in Isaiah 55. It says, "All your children will be taught of the Lord, and their well-being shall be great." This is a passage the Lord gave me. I remember the children. "All your children," and I have three of them, "will be taught of the Lord. And as a result of being taught of the Lord, their well-being will be great." That word well-being is shalom. Their shalom will be great. And there's other verses that the Lord has given me over the years to pray for my children. And I believe that as you pray those scriptures for your children and your grandchildren, God hears and God will answer. I've seen that. And so you can pray those things, and you can pray also that the Holy Spirit will take what you've imparted as you've raised your children, that the Holy Spirit will take the faith that you've lived out and your devotion to the Word of God and bring about conviction and repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. You could also pray that the Lord bring other Christians who also have a sincere faith and commitment to the Word of God to speak into their lives and to build on the foundation that you've laid down. In fact, this is exactly what happened to Timothy. Paul came along. The great apostle Paul, and he came and he influenced the life of Timothy. Paul built on the foundation that Lois and Eunice had already put in place. And so as mothers, as grandmothers, the best influence you can have on your children is to live out that sincere faith in the Lord, is to be devoted to the Word of God, is to be praying for your children, because through these things, you can influence and equip your children to change the course of history. Now, I want to speak for a moment here to the young people with us this morning. You see, Timothy had the privilege of being under the influence of a godly mother and grandmother. And I believe you have that same privilege as well. So be thankful that you have the blessing of a godly mother. Even today, since it's Mother's Day, tell your mother that you are thankful for the blessing of being a godly mother. Because her influence, and I firmly believe this, her influence can thrust you into greatness. You see, God used two generations of godly women to prepare Timothy for the incredible ministry the Lord had for him. And in the same way, just as God used Eunice and Lois in Timothy's life, in the same way, he can use the godly influence of moms and grandmoms to prepare you, the young people here, for greater things. I want us to do a quick survey and to see how God used Timothy. And in the same way, how God may use you. I'm talking to the young people here. There's not many of you, but there's a few of you. The scriptures will appear on the screen, but the first one I want to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother." So Paul is putting Timothy alongside him in this greeting. And then if we go to verse 19 of chapter 1, "Among you, by us, by me, and Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him." This is the Timothy who was influenced by Eunice's mother and by Lois's grandmother. Influenced by their faith, influenced by their commitment to Scripture. And then if we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, similar statement than what we just read in Corinthians. It says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timothy." Again, he's part of the team. To be on Paul's team is to be have an incredible privilege and opportunity. And then in chapter 3 of verse Thessalonians, notice what it says, chapter 3, verse 2. Well, let me read verse 1 to put it in context. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and equip you as to your faith. See, Timothy is a history maker. And he was influenced by his mother and by his grandmother, by her faith, by their faith, and by their commitment to Scripture. And then let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 19. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19, down to 23. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth. He's talking about Timothy, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel as soon as I see how things are with me. It's because of the influence of his mother and the influence of his grandmother that laid the foundation for Timothy's greatness. You see, Timothy was a church planter alongside with Paul, and the whole 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are written to him while he was pastor of the Ephesian church. And so he was raised by a mother who had a contagious faith and a love for the Word of God. And because of that, Timothy's legacy lives on to this day. So I do not want you mothers to ever underestimate the influence that you can have on your children, even if your children are grown up, even if they're already out of the house. That influence can still remain. You know, it's been said that one godly mother achieves more than 100 teachers. World history is shaped in the homes where godly mothers live. And it's not possible for any person to estimate what he or she owes to a godly mother. Children who have been raised on the Word of God, I believe, are equipped to meet the rigors of adulthood. Now, in closing, just a few things here. You know, maybe as a mom you feel like you failed. Maybe you're disappointed with how things have turned out with your children. You know, maybe what I've been saying in this message does not describe your reality. Perhaps your son or your daughter is not walking with the Lord. But I believe you can still have an influence on their lives. Even if they're not in the house anymore, even though if they've left the home and moved on and started their own life, you can still have an influence. And here's how. Here's three things you can do. We kind of talked about it already, but we're going to sort of consolidate. And I have to do this all the time. Okay? I'm not saying anything that I haven't done myself. Talk to your son or your daughter who's not walking with the Lord and confess your failures to him or her. I've done that. Man, I've messed up big time. And I had to sit down with my son or my daughters, my sons or my daughter, and just admit, I messed up. So admit that you made some mistakes. Admit that at times you didn't live up to the standard of a sincere faith. At times your faith may have appeared hypocritical. And so this is an important thing for you to do. Talk to your son or daughter, admit it to them, and apologize to them. The second thing to do is to pray. Pray regularly for your children. Pray that the Holy Spirit would take what you have imparted to them and use it to bring conviction. Conviction of sin and faith in Christ Jesus. You see, children, when they grow up, they need to take ownership of the faith that you have. You know, before they're teenagers, it's kind of easy for them to believe what mom and dad believe. But as they enter into adulthood, they need to take ownership of this faith themselves. And so you can be praying for them as they go through that process. And the last thing you can do is ask the Lord to bring other Christians into their lives. Christians who have a sincere faith, Christians who are devoted to the Word of God so that they can speak into their lives and build on the foundation you have put in place. You know, this is a little side issue, but when you read the prayer, the evangelistic prayers in Scripture, and there's not many of them, but there are a few. Pretty well every time that there's an evangelistic prayer in the Scriptures, it's not praying for the unbeliever, it's praying for the believer. For the word is into the harvest field. Paul says, pray for me in the opening of my mouth that I may make known the Scriptures. So evangelistic prayers are actually praying that God would send believers into the lives of non-believers to influence them. And so you could pray that if you have a son or a daughter who's not working with the Lord. And so your sincere faith, your devotion to the Word of God, your prayers for your children can influence and equip your children to change the course of history in their sphere of influence. So be encouraged, moms and grandmoms, to continue to pray, to continue to live out your faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the powerful influence of mothers in our lives. Thank you for the influence of my mother. And that fateful 2 weeks in 1978 where she came to know you, and that her faith was transmitted, well, her example was transmitted to me and caused me to come to faith in you soon after. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage the moms here, especially those who don't have children or have a son or daughter who's not walking with you, or that they would be encouraged that you are still at work and that you have taken what has been imparted, and that you will use that to bring these sons, these wayward sons and daughters back to you. Lord, we just thank you so much for the fact that you do not leave us alone, but that you continually woo us back to yourself. I just thank you, Lord, for the effective and powerful influence mothers and grandmothers can have on the next generation. Please encourage the moms here and the grandmoms here, Lord, to continue of faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, we're going to call on the worship team to lead us.